Now it is time for the Positive Chats podcast. And this morning, we're going to be talking with Jennifer Evaz about her book, Inner Healing and Deliverance, Hope to Bring Your Heart Back to Life.
Good morning.
And how was the morning for you this morning?
Well, it's still a little bit dark, but that's because of the time change. But it's great weather out here in California.
Ah, awesome. What part of California?
We're in the central part of California, the Ag Belt, Turlock. And we've been here for, my husband's lived here since he came over from Iran. And then I lived here once we got married. Over 25 years for me.
Wow. So what does your husband do?
He's a pastor. We have 5 campuses, and so we've been going strong.
Wow. That's awesome. And from Iran. That's incredible. What do you do, Jennifer, besides write books?
I'm an author. Yeah, I'm an author, communicator, executive pastor here at Harvest Church, and I travel quite a bit, loving Jesus and serving him in that way.
How did you come to write a book about healing and deliverance?
Well, this is my 5th book, and it's really, like all of my books, it's a culmination of just the personal story and things that I've learned as the Holy Spirit has just really brought me into some experiences. And I've always been connected to deliverance ministry, meaning people who are spiritually oppressed or possessed. It's a little bit different, a few differences between the two terms there. Just ministering to them and helping them find freedom in Christ and you know, stay that way. And then I ran into my own personal journey on a much stronger level. I got a much stronger level when my memories started to come back at age 47. And when my memories started coming back, I started filling in a lot of gaps of time that were missing growing up, which necessitated a deeper need personally for inner healing, meaning my heart healed, and deliverance, because there's quite a bit of spiritual attachments as a result of all that.
So what all did you go through that you're able to share?
Well, basically, my bio father was from Hollywood, California. He worked in the financial district. He's been deceased for over 2 decades. But he was also connected to the pedophile cult network there. I know we've heard rumors about it. It is true, at least back then it was. And it was so sinister, all the things I had been subjected to through that. I literally blocked like most of that out of my mind. I knew a few things. But I just couldn't wrap my mind around that level of evil. But unfortunately, when things happen to you, they don't go away. You might, you know, do some mental gymnastics to survive, but they don't go away. You have to deal with it. They do affect you. They affect your decisions. They kind of whisper things underneath. And so what happens is, you know, your life starts is reflecting things. And you're wondering, why am I having these patterns? Why am I having these problems? But you don't quite know. And the Holy Spirit just sovereignly surfaced it. It was in his goodness. It's been a hard battle out, but he's really showed me every step of the way. Involved a lot of personal ministry, you know, putting people around me, prayer ministry, professional counseling, deliverance ministry, the whole thing. But he definitely has walked me through really difficult things and successfully.
The mind is a very complex organ, or the brain is an organ in the mind. How did you realize that there was a lot of this stuff, you know, stored way back there?
Well, you know, if I were to look at some of the things that I was dealing with, if I were to look at it in another person, I would definitely be able to see it. But when it's you, a lot of times we blind ourselves. Because, you know, we don't want to face it or we can't face it, and it's understandable. Or we don't have the resources, we don't have the tools, it's not the right time. There's a lot of reasons why we block things out, don't look at things. And so, you know, that's essentially what I did. I just didn't have what I needed to start plowing through all of that. And then finally I did. And I just made a decision that I need to face it, not run from it, put things in place, and start looking at things I've never had the courage to look at. And so I had a lot of support. I think that was probably the key. And God was really...
So who are you hoping to help through this book? So what are the things that they may have gone through?
People have very ugly stories. And they are not comfortable talking about it. They don't feel that, a lot of times as the, you know, the church universal, we're not sure how to handle it. We have a bad habit of telling people to pray about it or forgive and, you know, forget it. And it doesn't work that way. Trauma doesn't work that way. Trauma, you actually have to heal. It's kind of like an emotional cancer. You know, you can't just like pray about it and then walk away. You know, you have to work through like emotional cancer, emotional disease. You have to walk through this thing. And that's where the church really needs to understand that people need safe spaces. They need a lot of love. They need a lot of encouragement. They need a lot of validation that their ugly story is real, because they feel like it's going to be believed. And so I think that's probably one of the things I would counsel from both angles, is for people how to start healing from the worst of the worst. And then for those who are believers or are Christians who are encountering people with these horrible stories, what to do and how to really help them and know to come alongside rather than give them pat answers.
Yeah, so what are some of the behaviors that we could experience from somebody to realize that they have gone through some trauma, something had happened to them for them to be acting out like this? What are some of the signs that we can see in other people, better understand that, hey, this person went through a lot. I need to be gracious to this person and understand that their behavior isn't really who they are.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky because, like, where do I engage with some boundaries with a person, and where do I open up that conversation? I have a whole chapter dedicated to understanding the Jezebel afflicted soul. We use that term in a way to really label some people. And I've been saying this for years, that people who we would consider to be a Jezebel personality, they got that way through some very traumatic conditioning. And when we don't understand that, we wash our hands of it rather than with appropriate boundaries, knowing how to confront certain behaviors, because Jesus gave the remedy, that person has to repent. But for someone like that to repent of manipulation, intimidation, all the tool set that they gained trying to survive terrible stories, for them to let that go is like a psychological death. And so it's a thing when Jesus says you got to repent. But at the same time, we on the other side of it who are dealing with behaviors in a person, we're not always sure how to remedy that. So I give a whole chapter dedicated to that. I think it's really balanced. It doesn't open the wrong doors, but it doesn't shut doors either.
And of course, God created us the way our body works, the way our mind works and our brain. So I am assume that God in his word gives us some insight about trauma.
Absolutely. You know, really, trauma is the way I describe it, and not a clinical definition, but I think it pairs well with the clinical definition, is being smashed on the inside, is being crushed on the inside. There's different levels of trauma, different spectrums. But, you know, the Bible does address being crushed in spirit. And it addresses, you know, that Jesus is the remedy for those who are crushed on the inside. Where it gets really difficult is when somebody is a sufferer of acute or complex trauma. Complex trauma is basically being marinated in it, where you've been crushed over and over and over and over again. Can the Lord resurrect that? He absolutely can. But we're led to believe many times that we're beyond repair, beyond hope, the story's too difficult, too much happened. And that actually is a lie. But there is a process. And knowing that this process is going to take time, that just because you have a really bad history doesn't mean that you're never going to recover. It's just not going to happen, you know, in a day. And so that's the piece that I want people to understand, is that he heals all of it, but because there's a physiological component to trauma, I mean, literally your brain is damaged. There's also a need for time to heal what happened to you.
And a little bit ago, you mentioned repentance as well as all part of this. Where do we find the balance? Because sometimes we may put too much focus on, oh, you got to repent of that behavior. Well, it's not that easy for them because of the trauma they experienced. Where do we find that balance?
Well, again, I think collectively we all need to mature and just be realistic with people's stories, that we don't want to give them pat answers. We've got to recognize that repentance sometimes, there's a matrix. to that. You know, it's like when we tell people, well, you got to forgive, you know, that horrible abuser. You got to forgive that spouse that was so terrible to you, and connect back into that relationship. Some really weird remedies, I think, that are given to people that are not realistic. They're not practical. Really understanding what forgiveness is, that too is a process, you know, with the Lord, to actually forgive somebody that takes years. So just getting more realistic about healing with people and accepting where they're at. Sometimes people, you know, they're in full on hate mode, and they actually need to experience that emotion for a season because it's there. And they need to just work through it rather than pretend it's not there.
We're talking with Jennifer. The book is called Inner Healing and Deliverance, Hope to Bring Your Heart Back to Life. So you say inner healing and deliverance. So those are two different things?
Yeah, they are. Inner healing is healing the wound that happened. And then deliverance is casting out, removing any demonic spirit that's taken into it. You have to have both.
And how do these interact with each other?
Well, Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. You go to Matthew 4, you see the same concept that people need to be healed and delivered. And so they do go there. So a lot of, you know, I would say people who specialize in deliverance ministry, the problem is they're not always addressing why that demon got there, why that demon is oppressing the person on that level. They don't always address that. They just cast it out, and, you know, they use the name of Jesus, spiritual authority, and that person gets relief for a little bit, but the door is still open. A wound is there. There's a reason that there was an oppression. You know, there was a landing strip. And until the landing strip is removed, which means the person is going to have to identify the root with the help of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes these roots are deep. That landing strip, you know, they might have to forgive somebody. They might have to forgive themselves. They might have to sort through lies that they ended up believing because of that situation that brought all this about. And they may not even know the lies that they believe until the Holy Spirit says, hey, this is what you believe as a result of what happened to you. And then there's an exchange that takes place, you know, actually letting go of that lie, taking on the truth. And that might take some time to do that. But once that landing strip is removed, Satan has nothing in common with you. He has nothing to hold on to. And then you're not going to have that spiritual oppression, you know, like before.
And one of the ways the devil holds that oppression over us is guilt and shame. Do some people experience that?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, shame is one of the hugest tools that Satan uses, especially against Christians. You know, you're not perfect. You're not good enough. You're not this. You know, and guilt is, shame are a little bit different. Guilt is feeling bad about what you did. You know, a lot of people, they'll take care of that. But shame is feeling bad about who you are. And when you feel bad about who you are, you won't receive God's blessings for your life. You'll reject them because you've rejected yourself. And so working through that with scriptures and really declaring, decreeing over yourself who Jesus, you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are. Condemnation is not even in a conversation with God. You know, it's off the table. It's not even a term that he uses if you're a believer in Christ, in him. So actually learning and rewiring your mind to that. And then it's amazing once you know who you are in God, then you can receive his blessings. And the Bible says, you know, we're blessed to be a blessing. So it's a nice cyclical thing to happen with people once they accept that.
Yeah, but shame is a tough trap, because you can say all that, but they say, well, it's different for me or whatever. Shame is a tough thing to overcome.
Yeah, it's a cage. And the thing is, you know, why does Satan try to bring these lies? You know, they are lies. Why does he try to bring these lies to you so that yourself? It's because he's afraid of what you are when you're not hidden. Okay, and you know, the circumstances are legit. They're very usually there's some truth to why people go into shame, but at the same time, Jesus gives the pure remedy. He heals, he forgives. The stories, you know, that we think that we can never ever tell anybody about. That's not true. You know, look at the Bible. I mean, everything's written there. And so people, you know, bringing their story into the light, you know, you need to start with a safe person, start talking about what happened to you, start talking about what you did with a safe person that's confidential, and start working through what's hidden and what's in the dark and what you're afraid of, what you're afraid of to expose, and start working through that. It's amazing on the other side of that story. I've heard countless stories. It's amazing the ministry that comes out of that. It's so powerful.
The subtitle of your book, Hope to Bring Your Heart Back to Life. How can we experience that hope?
Well, that hope is in Jesus Christ. There's no other remedy. And he can take any problem, literally any problem, and turn it around. Okay. He's amazing. How he knows how to do that. His remedy for you is very personalized and very good. And he works with us right where we're at, and step by step walks us through these horrible things, you know, that have happened. But he's already paid the price, and he's got victory on the other side of it for you. People like, you know, what I'm referring to, all these stories, these terrible things. It's amazing how many people write books and get into ministry as a result of what they've overcome. Yeah. And the Lord loves to shout the story.
Well, how can people get a copy of your story and your book, Inner Healing and Deliverance, Hope to Bring Your Heart Back to Life?
Well, you can go to my website, jenniferyougas.com, or you can literally find it any distributor that sells Christian books. I mean, even Walmart online, Target online, Amazon, of course, all of those, you can find it there.
And Jennifer, what else will they find at your website?
They'll find a lot of resources. You know, my blog, my podcast, you know, all of those things will be on my website.
Oh, and what do you talk about? What are some of the topics you talk about in your podcast?
I talk about a lot of supernatural topics, dreams, dream interpretation, the prophetic, as well as inner healing and deliverance.
All right. And that website again, jenniferyougas.com. Jennifer, the usual name of that, but then your last name is spelled E-I-V-A-Z, and that's .com. Jennifer, right. Thanks for chatting with us this morning and for your work. And let's hopefully we'll bring healing to many people through your book and through your ministry.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.